Happy New Year. Compared to other years, it doesn't seem very happy, I guess because of the situation we're in. But despite our circumstances, our God desire for us to really rejoice in the Lord. In 1912, April 10th, big ship called Titanic left Southampton, England, to headed to New York. And back then, this was the ship. And they had a name for this ship, unsinkable ship. In the movie Titanic, which aired in 1997, there was a statement someone made, God himself could not sink this ship. They were so proud of this ship because of its safety, because of its size. They were just rejoicing in this cruise liner coming to New York. They were passing by one region where they got 7 warnings of iceberg. They were told to go other way because of danger. But 7 times they ignored it, and a few times they didn't, the message wasn't sent to the captain. So because of it, it hit iceberg and it sank. Out of 2,208 passengers, only 705 were rescued, and 1,503 people perished in the water because they ignored the signal. We are sailing through life, and oftentimes we get signals. We get signs, not only from the people who are experts, but also from God. He sends us signs that we are to avoid certain things. Coronavirus was something that happened over a year ago, and it just continues to exist in the midst of us. And many of us were immobilized, and many of us, our lives changed drastically because of this virus. And if we don't learn any lesson, if we don't see any sign of God in the midst of this hardship, we have wasted our time. I'm sure God is sending signals and signs in order for us to really what to avoid and how to live our life. And as we begin a new year, 2021, we want to really hear the sign of God and reset the direction of our lives so that we will not perish, but we will flourish and we will be blessed. Today's passage is written by the prophet Hosea. Hosea lived 8th century BC, and during his time, they enjoyed the prosperity economically, politically. They were really having time of their lives. But when, if you look at study history, when a country prospers, there is always something that follows that's not so good. There's corruption, there's immorality. And this Israel was no different. With the prosperity came immorality and idolatry. In the lives of Israelites at that time, even though they were enjoying the prosperity, God couldn't be found. And this is how God describes the people of Israel during the time of Hosea. Hosea 5:4 says this, their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. A spirit of prostitution is in their heart. They do not acknowledge the Lord. God is saying they have this heart of, spirit of prostitution in their heart. It's a such harsh word. There was immorality. There's such corruption in their lives that there's no way that they could return to God, that they have no knowledge of who God is in their lives. Second thing that God points out of the Israelites in Hosea 7:10 says this, Israel's arrogance testifies against him, but despite all this, he does not return to the Lord, his God, or search for him. They were arrogant. When a country prospers, they think that they did it themselves, that it was all their doing, and they become arrogant. They become prideful. And that's what happens to the United States, because it's one of the strongest and the wealthiest country in the world. It kind of has an arrogance, and we see that wherever we go, people don't like when you carry American passport. It used to be that something you were proud of, but you got to hide it because otherwise you get shot. So their arrogance kind of hit the ceiling. The arrogance makes puff yourself up so much that you fail to see God. I don't know if I told this story before. There was a little kid sitting in front with mom, and on that Sunday, He came to church with mom, and there was a substitute pastor, not regular pastor. But regular pastor was a small guy, but the other speaker was a big guy. And during the service, a little kid kept on kind of nudging at mom, wanted to say something. And the mom said, don't, this is during service. But I have something to tell you. Mom said, what is it? Where did the cross go? Because there was a cross behind the pulpit, and because the pastor was so big, he couldn't see the cross. See, that's what happens. When we puff ourselves up so much with arrogance and pride, we fail to see God. We fail to see Christ. And that's what happened to the Israelites. In Hosea 6, 4, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says this, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because of you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. The more the priest increased, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glory for something disgraceful. God is so kind of disgusted with Israelites because now they have not only lack of knowledge, but they have ignorance of God's knowledge. They just chose to ignore God's commands, God's knowledge, and they decided to live with their prosperity. They were so kind of happy with the glory that they were enjoying, but God says, I'm going to turn that glory into something disgraceful. You see, when we do not become grateful to whom the blessing comes, that blessing can become disgraceful. As we're listening to the state of Israelites during the time of Hosea, doesn't it remind you of the place that we're living? Not only this land, but the land that we call our homeland. We enjoy kind of, you know, wealth. And Korea was considered as one of the fastest growing country economically. Not only that, in many other areas, in the areas of music and sports, you know, we don't like to take second. You know, BTS, whoa, that, you know, that was something different in my era. When I was growing up, BTS was kind of a bad, you know, acronym. But now it's, you know, I don't know if maybe Christy, Jim, you know what BTS meant back then. But now it's a singing team. And yet, if we look at our homeland, used to be thriving in prayer, and Christians were somewhat kind of looked up because of their, you know, life. But now they became laughingstock. Even here in the United States, now we cannot find the word morality in the midst of us. Now we find in the dictionary. What used to be called sin, now we call it lifestyle. What used to be shameful, now we celebrate. Coming out was something that people were shameful of, but now it's something that people celebrate. We have lost a sense of shamefulness. It seems like now we are shameless society. Everything for the sake of humanity, whatever feels good, whatever feels right, then we do it. We have ignored the commands of God. We have just forgotten what it meant to live according to the word of God. In the society where money talks and everything else walks, we have become enslaved by material things, and we kind of criticize how bad it is to be enslaved by the material things, yet our life reflects that kind of slavery of materialism. What will God say as he is looking at our own lives? I'm sure his message is same as what he proclaimed upon the Israelites during the time of Hosea. In order to show Israelites that they were going the wrong direction, yet God is willing to take them and accept them and love them no matter what, God is telling Hosea, okay, you become a living example of how my heart is toward the people of Israel. So God tells Hosea to marry someone, not anyone, but he tells to marry a prostitute. What would your parents, you know, what would your parents, if you wanted to marry a prostitute, came home and go, Mom, Dad, I want to marry a prostitute, I'm sure you would have quite a war ahead of you. But God tells Hosea to marry a prostitute and obeys him and marries him. But this prostitute, after she gets married, her name is Gomer. What a name. Gomer, she continues to live a very, you know, corrupt life. She continues to live life of a prostitute. She is going from man to man, just betraying the oath that she has made with Hosea. And time after time, Hosea goes after Gomer and brings her back and tells her, no, you know, you belong to me. We are together, yet it doesn't work. But Hosea, God tells him to continue to love her and embrace her. God is wanting to show to the Israelites, even though you betray me time after time, like this woman Gomer, who is a prostitute, I'm willing to take you back if you return. In today's passage, God is telling us to return. Let us return to the Lord. Well, if you look at verse 1, come, let us return to the Lord, that statement alone, it presupposes something, that we are on the wrong path. So that we need to return, make a U-turn, and go back to God. Are we on the wrong path? If you look at the history of Christianity, modern Christians are the most knowledgeable Christians. Whatever question we have of Bible, we just ask, you know, Mr. Google, you know, or Mr. Amazon, Alexa. And they tell you answer. I asked Alexa, what is the meaning of life? Oh, you know, Alexa went on and on about what meaning of life is all about. Now you find answer everywhere you turn. If you want to hear to good sermons, you go online and you can pick and choose what kind of sermon you want to listen to. Bible studies, there are plenty available. Materials to study what it, you know, the Word of God, yeah, it's out there. I mean, it's available for everybody. Yet, we have lost the influence. We may have gained the knowledge, but we have lost the influence of what it means to be salt and light of the world. No longer we have influence upon the world. In fact, now the influence comes other way around. The world is influencing the church. So to this generation, God is telling us to return to Him. When God says to return, it means for us to repent. Repentance is not an emotional discharge of how bad we feel. It is a changing of direction. We need to remember, repentance is a changing of direction. You can cry your eyes out and you can just, you know, have really bad feeling, but then if you don't change the direction of your life and continue to live the way you did, you didn't repent. You just had a good cry. That's all. But God is saying, turn around and return to me because you're on the wrong path. In Joel chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 says this, rend your heart and not your garment. Don't just go through the motion of just ripping your clothes, because that's how the Old Testament, the people in the Bible repented. You know, how the Pharisees came into the middle of a street and they tore their clothes and poured ashes in their head, meaning that they're repenting to God. Don't just go through the motion of repentance. Render your heart. It's saying rip your heart. Return to the Lord your God. For He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and He relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offering and drink offering for the Lord your God. See, I love how Joel, you know, here he says, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, if you return to God instead of you being punished for your wrongdoings, who knows? God will turn that kind of, you know, bad situation into a blessing. That's why in Lamentations, the prophet Jeremiah says this, let us examine our ways. And in Lamentation 3:40 says this, let us examine our ways and test them and let us return to the Lord. We need to examine our heart and see what's in it. What is the content of my heart? So that we can just, you know, pour that content upon the cross and return to God. If you look at Hosea's family, their impossible family. Mother is always kind of prostituting. And three kids they had, but, you know, first one was okay, but the second, you know, other two names are really terrible names. You know, you would think, oh, that family is dysfunctional. That family needs help. That family is impossible, people would have said. But God continues to speak to Hosea. You go back and embrace your wife. Bring her back. Bring her back. You know, the last thing was she was sold as a slave and she was living in misery. Even in that state, Hosea goes and brings her back. It's like the story of Jesus when he told the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son is not a son. He's a terrible son. You know, father's not even dead and he's asking for inheritance. And he goes and spends all his money, all that money, all father's money. And then he comes back as a beggar and he wants to be accepted as a servant. The father's heart never left the son. From the moment he left the house, he was waiting for his son, looking at the horizon. When will my son return? When will he run out of money? Because he knows that he's going to run out of money and he's going to come back. And when he comes back, instead of, you know, if I was a, you know, I'm so glad I am not God. If I was, you know, like the father figure, I would have said, you know, looking at the son coming back, I told you so, you bad boy. You know, go take a shower, you stink. Something like that. But then father runs to the son and embraces him and gives him, you know, clothes him with the new clothes, restores all the rights of a son. That's the heart of God, that he will never reject and turn away from his children coming back to his bosom. He will always embrace us. That's why the gospel is called good news. It's good news because no matter how wicked and how wretched and how broken and how ripped apart we are, no matter what kind of form we may come, if we come running to God, he will always embrace us. You know, when sometimes I ask some people, you know, come to God. Come to God. I remember in college days, I used to kind of witness to my friends, and they said, well, I still smoke. Until I take care of this smoking, until I get rid of my party kind of life, you know, I cannot go back to God. No. God doesn't want you to clean up your act and come to God. You don't have to clean up your act. You come as you are, and God will clean it up for you. With the blood of Christ, he will make it right. We come back to God, and verse 2 says this. Verse 2 says, after 2 days that he will revive us, and on the third day he will restore us. What is this? 2 day revive, and third day he will restore us. Does that mean it's going to take 2-3 days for God to kind of make us whole again? No, it's just talking about, if you look at the Jewish kind of expression, when it talks about 2-3 days, it's talking about the brevity, the quickness of it. That God is going to revive and restore quickly. It will not take a long time. But God has a way of kind of making things happen just like that because he's God. I remember when I was doing English ministry way back when, a young person, he gave a testimony about how he wanted to kill himself, but he failed in killing himself. He thought he was so depressed because he wanted to kill himself, and even that, he failed. He felt like a true failure. I can't even kill myself. What kind of failure am I? And he remembered when he was way young, he used to go to church with his parents, and he used to sing this song, Jesus Love Me This I Know, for the Bible tells me so. So he thought, you know, well, maybe I should try church. And he came to church, and amazing things happened. God really embraced him, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he began to change. And the change wasn't something slow. It was a drastic change. It was amazing how this person was changing so quickly, so amazingly. So if you know someone, if you have someone in your household, and if you know someone who you feel like that person's impossible, you haven't experienced that person in the hand of God. Because when you return to God, God has a way of changing person just like that in an amazing and miraculous way. And so when Jesus came, he told this, Mark 2:17, it is not the healthy who needs doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. It is the sick that needs the doctor. He came to call the sinners. If you feel like you're not worthy of being called a child of God, if you feel like you are not worthy of returning to God because of the life that you're living and because of the situation you may be in, don't worry, because Jesus said, I came for someone just like you in your situation, in your circumstances. I'm so glad that my God is willing to love me no matter what. And verse 3 says this, that we, let us acknowledge the Lord, let us press on to acknowledge him. Well, the word acknowledge is not a very good translation. Well, Message translation says this, we are ready to study God, eager for God knowledge. And in a Korean translation, it says, let us know God. Let us press on, continue to learn and know God. Well, knowing God is very important because the amount of knowledge you have of God will decide the amount of love you have toward God. If you don't know something, that you cannot say you really love. There's an old song. Well, it's an old song that was sang by Perry someone, but I heard this song. I came to love this song because of Dolly Parton, who sang this song. And it's a song called To Love, Love, Love Him. Is to know him is to love him. That's pretty much the whole lyric. To know him is to love him, and I do. And that's it, pretty much. And song goes like that. To know him is to love him. And it's almost like a gospel song. If you know someone, you learn to love. Newlyweds, they marry, and they're very happy in the beginning. Well, up to the point of getting married is really happiness. But then right after you get married, and during the honeymoon time is over, and after that, what happens? There's a lot of fight. You know, in Korean, they call it 부부싸움. Couple quarrel happens. Why do couples fight? You know, they married because they couldn't live without each other. But after they get married, somehow they begin to fight. Some people say because you married because you were blinded by love, and all of a sudden marriage cured the blindness, and that's why you opened your eyes and see the reality and you begin to fight. You fight because you don't know that person. I used to fight a lot in the beginning of our marriage with my wife because I didn't know her. I didn't know her. I thought I knew her, but I knew partial of who she was. But more and more I got to know her, I understood why she was saying the things that she was saying, the behaving, the way that she was behaving. So more I knew about her, the more I loved her. And now, having lived together like 30-some years, now, you know, I know her much more than when I first got married. And I love her much more than when I first got married. And now I know when I go home and say, I'm home, and then the voice of my wife pretty much tells me how I should behave, because I know. Today, I better be quiet. I better behave. Otherwise, you know, no food or something. You know, that's how it is. The amount of knowledge you have of God, the amount of you knowing God will determine your love for God. Because if you know God, no matter what circumstances you may be in, you know that God will care for you, that he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. If you know God, you know that following the will of God is much better than following your will. If you know God, you know that he is the one who provides true joy and peace. So you go after his joy and his peace. The more you know God, you are going to recover and restore the image of God that was lost because of our sinfulness in the Garden of Eden. So that's why we study the Bible, study the Word, meditate upon it, and we hear the sermon Sunday in, Sunday out. Why? Because we want to get to know more of God so we can love more of him. And the last part of verse 3 says this, as surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. It's talking about the sunrise and the rain. You know, the sunrise is, he's going to come like a sunrise. What does that mean? Well, when the dusk, the morning starts, the darkness of night disappears as soon as the sun comes up. With the sunrise, darkness disappears. When God appears in our lives, when we return to God and he appears in our lives, like the sunrise, darkness of our lives will disappear. We are going to be living in light. And like the winter and spring rain, it's talking about early and late rain. The winter rain promises fruits, harvest. God is saying, there will be a blessing upon your life when you return to God. We wish each other in Korean way, 새해 복 많이 받으세요. In New Year, may you have a lot of blessings. Where are you going to get the blessings? Where are you going to find the blessings? The only place that we can go to find true blessing is to return to God. Return to God. This 1 year, we have decided to make this into our kind of motto. You know, we're going to just follow this path of returning to God. We don't just do it once in a lifetime. We do it every day. We return to God every day. Even though I returned yesterday, I need to return back to Him, because living in this corrupt and wicked world, I am easily persuaded and I'm easily distracted to go different directions. And I easily can ignore the signs that comes to me. Pandemic will pass. This will pass. Surely will pass. And there are we're going to go back to the time that we used to enjoy each other's company, hugging and shaking hands and worshiping together in one place. All this will happen, but do not forget the sign that God is sending to each one of us, that we are to return to God, not go away from God. Let's pray. God, as we return to God, we want to really embrace your heart, and we too have a heart of God as well, embracing those who are not so lovable, not so lovely, not so likable. And we want to really run the race, not for me to win alone, but as the Hosea says, come, let us return to God together. Lord, may this community be a community that cares for one another. May there not be anyone who stands in the way of people coming to the Lord. May we not become like prodigal son's brother who complained about how it's unfair. Our God is truly a fair God, just God. God, thank you for being such God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.